Hello, this is Oroville Radio. My name is Sanjan, and today I'm interviewing John Harper for my community service project. So, John, could you tell me about yourself?
Hi, good morning. Well, I'm John, and came from Canada long ago, from the West Coast, Vancouver area. Totally beautiful forests, rivers, mountains. That's where I grew up. And then I came over here to the desert.
So, could you tell me your age?
Age? Yeah. Much older than when I came.
So, what did you study?
Okay, after going through all the normal schools in Vancouver, then I went to the University of British Columbia, where I studied engineering physics, and finally steered into the direction of optics.
Oh, cool. What was your passion in your childhood?
You have to understand the Pacific Northwest of North America. Mm-hmm. Such a beautiful natural environment. Mountains, rivers, ocean coast. So I was totally into all of that. Camping, trekking, going on the ocean, fishing with my father. That was just the thing that was very much absorbing the... And a summer camp where I spent many, many years helping out for the boys' summer camp. So lots of natural exposure.
Oh, that's nice. So what year was it when you came to Oroville?
I came in 74.
Oh, nice. That's cool. How did you come to Oroville?
By plane.
Oh, yeah. Like what made you to come to Oroville?
Of course. That's a bit of a longer story.
Yeah, I would like to hear that.
During my university years, I think it was 69, I got connected with the writings of Sri Aurobindo. Mm-hmm. I had been, like all many young people, searching for answers, what was going on, and I was into all kinds of crazy things, looking at different parts of life. And then I got connected to somebody who had the books of Sri Aurobindo, and that was so much meeting my deeper questions. No, it really, answers were clearly there. Sri Aurobindo and the mother, they had answers and directions, and that I began to read more and more of that, and that got my life into focus.
Oh, yes. So what work do you do here in Oroville?
I'm at Mata Mandir. I've virtually always been at Mata Mandir. Now I'm part of the organizing team, the management team. Mm-hmm. So busy with making sure that all the various projects flow along and help pulling in for funding, making sure that the labor is there, planning, looking ahead, and all the million details of maintaining and developing this site, which is quite huge and which has many aspects.
Mm-hmm. What got you to work there?
When I came in 74, I ended up in the guest house of AMI. There was a big guest house there with Keat huts, of course. In fact, when I came to AMI guest house, there was no place to stay. So the fellow who was running it, David at the time, said, "You give me 500 rupees and come back in a week." So I did. When I came back, there was a hut, a capsule, a Keat capsule, the classical Keat capsule with a raised platform, Pakamaran floor. From there, one could see the giant pillars of Mata Mandir rising up out of the earth. There were hardly any trees in the middle, some palm trees here and there. So in early, this was late 74, so the beams, the pillars of Mata Mandir were just beginning to arc up, maybe one third of the way up. 73, those pillars had, the base of the pillars was done, that famous date of November 17th, when the pillar, critical junction on the pillars were completed just at the time of Mother's passing on November 17th. Then during the next year, the pillars began to curve up outwards. So that's what I could see and really feel across the space from Ami to Mata Mandir, and it was like a magnet. So I just went there and I jumped into the work.
So how was Sauroville in your time?
Well, this is still my time. In that time, it was, of course, totally different. There have been so many accounts. You know, you could walk in any direction you wanted to, just go across the red earth fields, climb over some bans, and you could go anywhere. Roads were very few. Trees were incredibly less. Hygiene was less. One was struggling to keep a healthy diet. But the work was there, and that was the main entire magnet. You know, one just jumped into the work, and you did that, and it was great and fun, and it went on okay.
Does your work contribute to the overall missions of Sauroville?
Well, that's definitely so, because we are quite a large team, by the way. There's, let's see, there's about 55 people on our maintenance list, plus another, easily another 100 Aurovillians who do volunteering work, night watches, chamber watches, access work, helping in the garden. So lots of people. So it is a real center of Sauroville activity.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any challenges so far?
Constantly. From day one, there are challenges, but that's part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
We flow along with all of that.
Like, explain me one of them.
So many levels. Right in the beginning, because of the hygiene and maybe my body condition, I got extremely sick fairly soon, just after a few months. And that put me flat on my back in various hospitals. Then I ended up living in the ashram for 2 years in the mid-70s so I could recover, get enough strength. And then I came back in early 78. So that was one of the challenges, to keep yourself physically in condition. Otherwise, it's all about humans and conversation and agreeing or disagreeing, trying to find the common way forward. And our answer has always been, our experience has been, that it's found in the work, no?
Yeah.
People together, passing chetties of concrete up onto the building, people you don't even know, you don't speak the same language, but once you're physically involved in the work and moving together on something, it's a real binding story. And this kind of thing we have a little bit less now in Sauroville. That's perhaps part of the issue, that we're all very much up in our heads now instead of being in our hands and bodies. So to maintain that happy unity is really one of the big challenges.
Yep. So do you have any goals right now?
Goals. Day to day, to go on with the construction at the center, Mata Mandir, in the most harmonious way possible. This is the daily goal.
Is there any memorable or profound experience in Sauroville or working in Mata Mandir?
So many experiences, actually. There's the happy ones and the difficult ones. Somehow the difficult ones stick more. That is to say, when people are arguing, they're not cooperating, when there's conflict, that leaves a big a record in the being, because it's so antagonistic to the way that we should be here, no? Harmonious, joyous, collaborating. So when you go off that scale, when you swing to the end of the spectrum where it's the red end, where there's conflict and disagreement, it really sticks in my being personally. That's just the way I am. Just to note that I grew up in that Pacific Northwest in a life of basically zero conflict.
Mm-hmm.
There was a happy, peaceful, flowing family. The province, the country was not engaged in any conflict. So I was not exposed to any kind of heavy conflict, personal or communal, before I got here. So when I then, okay, you jump into the work, and then the whole thing, the conflict of the mid and late 70s and early 80s with the Shorbindo Society, that was a big one to deal with. And then all the other little difficulties along the way, and of course the big one that we're in these days.
Yes. Has any of them had like lasting impact on you?
Lasting impact. Well, my belief is that it's all there to make us grow. So the impact after the hard parts, and then there's the good parts also. All of that is to make us break down our little hard shell of personal view and personality and widen out as much as we can and deepen along the way. It's a long, slow work and a work very much still in process.
Mm-hmm. So, John, what do you like about being an Aurevillian?
What do I like about being an Aurevillian? Well, it's the place. It's just, and it's been the experience of so many people coming here and they feel something in the air, something in the ground, in the atmosphere, and they say, ah, this is the place. So this is my essential grounding experience also, even today. I go to the banyan tree, I sit there quietly, and I have that feeling, yeah, this is the place, and this is where I'm happy to be, and doing whatever externally, but this is the place.
Yeah. Anything you don't like about it?
Well, as I've said, the conflict is difficult. It is to be understood, of course, that in any experiment like this, there will be difficulties, disagreements, and conflicts. But the fact that it's taking us so long, now it's over 50 years now, to learn how to really be together, this is quite a challenging part of the life here. However, the more we get our noses rubbed in it, let's say even collectively, I think more and more we see that there's only one way out of this, and that is to really get united together as people and ourselves, our different layers in our being.
Yeah. How much has Aurevill changed since you came here?
Changed. Well, okay, the physical aspects don't need to be described. That's so often described. The inner layers that in the beginning, there was just that sheer enthusiasm of jumping into the adventure, and that was firing everybody and moving everybody along for many, many years. As I said earlier, now there are many, many more layers. We move more into the mind, to the discussion of things how should be. So that is a change, and it requires us to constantly refer back to that inner, that original inner fire and energy, which is still there. It's just layered over like an onion with many other skins now. So that's, how to say that? Psychologically, that is the change. The outer, the growth, the greening, the building of Mata Mandir, and now the lake, that is external change, which continues and is part of the plan.
Yeah. What do you see in Aurevill that you don't see in other places?
Well, I haven't for the last almost 50 years seen much of outer places. Yeah, it's 49 years now.
Oh, yeah.
Hard to say. You cannot say mix of cultures because any big city has a huge mix of cultures, probably even more than we do. But the difference will be that here we have the intention, this is an intentional community, and as they say, the intention to form a solid, deep unity. And that you won't find in New York or Vancouver. They're just people from different cultures doing their own thing. But here, the intention is to build a real unity, and having that unity to build more and more easily the mother's intended environment and city.
How was the community and the people in your time compared to now?
You keep saying my time. This is my time now. in those times, of course, it was smaller. There was maybe 300 or 400 people in the 70s and 80s. So you kind of knew everybody, more or less. You knew them. You could recognize them. Nowadays, when I go into the solar kitchen, I may recognize only 30 or 40% of the people. But even those 30 or 40%, most of them, I have no idea what they're doing in their life here, except that they're participating in the growth of Oroville. It doesn't matter. We're all in the same boat and we're paddling along, hopefully mostly in the same direction. There's a funny story about that. 6 or 7 years ago, I went with Marlenka to Canada, and in the middle we stopped for 2 days in Paris because it was too long for one long big jump. Marlenka didn't want to do that. So we had a tour and we went to Notre Dame, which burned down afterwards. And now, then we were in the park, sitting in the park beside Notre Dame, and suddenly we saw two people who I'd always seen in the solar kitchen but never spoken to virtually a word in my life. So it was Jean-Francois and his partner. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Orovillians meeting out there in the world. It's a big, hello, how are you? Let's go and have a coffee in the Hotel Esmeralda across the street. So we did that. And that was a great fun. Just to say that people we see all over Oroville these days, passing by on the road, don't know too many of them.
What do you like about Oroville?
Oroville. Well, it continues to be that space where you can grow according to the ideals of Mother and Sri Aurobindo, collectively and individually. Individually, you can do it anywhere in the world if you're concentrated. But there, out in the world, you have normally any supporting psychological atmosphere. You're surrounded by people who don't know a thing about Oroville or the goals of Oroville. Here, you're surrounded, you're in that atmosphere, in that bathtub full of Oroville energies. So that I like. It's very supportive of our growth, collective and individual.
Anything you don't like about Oroville?
What I don't like about Oroville, that's a hard one. Of course, the little bits of conflict or big conflicts that come that I don't like, but that's part of the game for the moment. No, I couldn't say there's not things I don't like. If you start to look at all the systems and programs and our maintenance and our housing issues, all that, there are huge questions. But I'm not going to say I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Do you miss anything from Canada?
Well, if I could blink my eyes and go to one of those huge forests or ocean, remote ocean beaches or one of those places, if I could blink and go there for an hour, that I might do because they're such lovely, fantastic places.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no, nothing to be missed.
What are the places you travel, like countries, cities?
Traveling. I came here really straight. We didn't travel around much. I was not a world traveler. And even in India, I've just traveled a little bit, some loop years ago on a big bus filled with Matrimandir people. We did the loop in the south, Chidambaram, Tanjore, Madurai, Tekadi, Kodaikanal. That was nice. And just one brief trip to Delhi also 40 years ago. So have not traveled much in India. I have not been to Mahabalipuram, let's put it that way.
Oh. Is there anything else you do in Oroville?
Another bit of my life is the solar side. Mm-hmm. As I said, I had training in physics and optics. So when I came here and was getting bathed in all this intense solar energy, I began a project. Just step back one step. In the 2 years that I was in the ashram recovering my health, I worked in the knowledge school with Professor Chamanlal Gupta, who was a very experienced and even famous solar scientist. So we did solar stuff together. I was an assistant of his.
Mm-hmm.
Chamanlal had built Eco House in Certitude in the early 70s, 72, 73, 74, where there were many aspects. They had biogas, they had a windmill, they had a solar panel, they had rainwater collection, all of that. So he was very much involved also in Oroville. So when I came back to Oroville in 78, I very soon started a solar project to make the first solar bowl, a spherical concentrator 3.5 meters wide, which we built in the open field near Centerfield. It worked. It was supported by Tata Energy Research Institute.
Oh.
And then it was Hilde and Tensi were using it to cook lunch. That was in 81, 82. Then, and all the time along the way during the 80s, I was building water heaters for various people.
Oh.
That was kind of fun. Then in the mid 90s, when the construction of the solar kitchen was coming into focus, the architects asked me if it would be a good idea to put a larger solar bowl. So I said, well, it worked for Tensi and Hilde, why not work on a larger scale? So that was integrated into the building. So that 15-meter wide bowl, there was a larger team, Gilles, one Russian, Andre, two or three other people, engineering, Tensi to help make the ferrocement elements. That was a very interesting project. And my particular thing there was to install all the 11,000 mirror segments, which went on during 98, finished in 98. And then the bowl came online in about 2001 and has been working pretty well over the last 20 plus years. So that's fun, and I'm maintaining the solar bowl. Yeah.
What could be changed in people and community here to have a better future?
Too big a question. What could be changed? A million things. We have such a long way to go, such high goals, complex development of how to make the city function harmoniously, smoothly. The key factor for me is the growth of our internal unity, which means that each one of us has to get to that place in himself or herself where we're ready to be united in that way. It's a long project. I don't think it's going to happen overnight. Yeah, that was fun. So aside from Mata Mandir and solar bowl as my hobby, you can say, I was asked to help out since 2 years a little bit in transition school as a science teacher assistant with Claire. So when I got there, I realized that they were having power cuts all the time and there was no backup in the school, whereas other schools like Future School and even kindergarten, I believe, had solar backup. So with you and your class, we did a whole survey of the installed lighting and energy fixtures in the school area with all its different buildings. We estimated the daily power consumption, the daily power need. Then we studied solar panels, we looked at videos, we went to Future School and saw their installation. And then we understood that and then we surveyed the sunny roofs available in transition, which we found was able to supply a much bigger area than was needed even for our school system. And then we made a nice presentation, which we shared with the students and teachers in the school. And we invited the Sunlit Future team of Rishi, Divya, and their engineers to see the presentation. And it turns out that they really were happy with the work that the students had done and the presentation. Then they actually donated a 5-kilowatt solar panel system for transition, which was installed during the summer before. So now it's there, and every time there's a power cut, the class counts to 3 and the power comes back from the solar system.
Yeah,
so it's very cool. We have not covered the entire campus yet with that project, but the potential is there.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy participating in that project?
Yes, very much. So, John, do you have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. We have to be happy to be here. I mean, that is our base, not to get caught up with tensions and concerns, and all of that is there, but to keep touch with that internal delight, which makes us be able to smile through all the crazy things going on, and then to concentrate on that and just keep calling for solution, for Mother to open the doors forward, and to trust that the doors will open, and just be ready to walk through them.
So yeah, thank you, John. Thank you for your time. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Okay, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yes.
This is Oroville Radio.